Good evening. How you, Brother Neil? Good to see you. I'm just going to break up the party over here. We're just going to go ahead and get started. And you're not in any trouble. We just got to get started. It is good. We were having a little bit of technical difficulty, but we have worked through that. We won't be on Facebook Live right now, but it may before the end, before we get to the end. Welcome, everybody. I'm glad everybody's out tonight. I hope everybody is having a good week. It is busy at the schoolhouse between getting grants and all ready for next school year and hiring new teachers for next school year and driving a school bus. It's pretty busy. Any school bus volunteer drivers, we take all takers. Come on, Brother Neil. Come on, Brother Neil. But it is good to see everybody tonight. In the way of announcements before we get started, just remember Sunday afternoon at 6 p.m. following the ladies' WMU Brazil meal. Miss Helen, I told them we shouldn't have it Sunday night because I didn't want to interfere with y'all. So we might just cancel it and not interfere with y'all at all and postpone it to another date. Okay? Now, we'll take care of that. That's all I needed to hear. We will move the church conference. We'll make a decision, but it will not be this next Sunday at 6 o'clock because we want our WMU ladies happy. And so we don't want to interfere. I thought that. Because, yep, y'all got a speaker, and we don't need to cut them folks short. They might be long-winded or something. So we'll make a decision on that. Our Annie Armstrong donations, you can see our goal is $7,500. We are sitting, as of Sunday, $6,116. You can continue to give. I'm sure we'll continue to receive it probably through the month of May if y'all want to continue giving so that we can reach our goal of $7,500. Baptist Men, the Grady County Brotherhood, is meeting tomorrow night, the 21st, right here at Eastside, 6:30. The speaker will be Mike Griffin from up around... Okay. He's the pastor at Liberty Baptist Church in Hartwell, Georgia. That's in Hart County, way up in northeast Georgia. I hope he knows how far it is to Cairo.
Well, he is from Thomasville.
Then he knows. Okay. They'll have hot dogs. There's going to be hot dogs, hamburgers, french fries, baked beans, desserts by the homemakers class, so I know they're going to be delicious. I saw one of the cakes already. I know where it's at. And the Taste of Brazil, our WMU meeting and meal will be Sunday at 5 in the Fellowship Hall. Plan to attend, ladies. Invite a friend. Plan to bring a Brazilian dish to share with others. So you can do that. Ladies' Bible study, What Happens When Women Pray, will meet Sunday, May the 1st at 6 p.m. Southside teacher gifts are due at the church by May the 8th, Sunday, May the 8th. For those that don't know what that is, our ladies have adopted Southside Elementary School, and they are just loving on the teachers over there. And they're assigned to all the teachers, and they participate, and they share. And interestingly enough, one of the teachers from Southside,
Janet Washington,
Saturday, brought... whoever her sponsor at Eastside, a very nice bouquet on Easter Sunday. She did it at Christmas too? Okay. So the blessings reciprocate. So ladies, Another WMU gathering will be held at El Bethel Baptist Church on Thursday, May the 12th. That's the associational meeting over there. And if you're interested in being a nursery worker, we'll be glad to put you on staff. If you're someone you know is interested, please have them pick up an application at the church office. Tonight, before we get into prayer list, well, we'll go ahead and do that before I go the other route. Inside, you have your prayer list. Yes, ma'am. Oh, I was going to do that Sunday. Sunday after church, Miss Mary Jo needs some young men with strong backs and weak minds to help her move some tables to set up for the afternoon meeting. And so Miss Mary Jo needs some help down the fellowship hall immediately following the Sunday morning service. And we will remember to announce that Sunday morning as well, at the beginning and the end of the service. In the way of prayer, prayer requests, you see our list there. It's long. You see our cancer and long-term list at the top. You see our short-term needs at the bottom. Be especially in prayer for Miss Julia Harrison's sister, Miss Stinson. I can't call her first name, I'm sorry. Grace Stinson. She has, just a little while before she's going to meet her Savior, she's had another massive stroke, and they've just told the family it's a matter of days. So, but Miss Julia says she is ready, and I tell you, there's a lot worse things in this world than death, especially when you're a Christian. And so she's 91. And but let's remember Grace, the family, all the family, as they, I don't care how long you get to prepare, you're still not prepared. You still just can't prepare for it. So let's remember them. Also, David Wynn, he's Janet Wynn's husband. He normally sits right back there behind or in front of Miss Carolyn. He's the one with the stiff knee. He cut his foot with a chainsaw today and was unable to come help do the supper tonight. So let's remember him. He didn't cut his foot off or cut his toe off, but I think he's got several stitches. We know how a chainsaw can do. So remember him, David Wynn. Those are all the specific ones. Need to remember Vernon Cook. He was supposed to have a procedure yesterday, today. They weren't able to do what they wanted to do. So the procedure was unable to be done, but he is home resting and he's doing all right at home. But they got to figure out what they want to do with that. Anybody else got anything from the floor?
We mentioned Jamie's grandmother.
Remember the Faircloth family, Merle Crew Barnes passed away. That's Jamie Faircloth's grandmother. Her funeral was this afternoon. Continue to remember that family as they grieve the loss of the grandmother and great grandmother. Anybody else? Miss Sue Maddox has got a surgical type procedure coming up. It's on our list. Miss Helen's pointing at something, ma'am. On the 25th of April. Remember that. Don't forget our missionaries, Pam Whitehead up in Monroe, Georgia, Drew Billingsley and his family as he chaplains in the Army, Emily Connell and her Solo Hope work in Honduras, our local associational missionary John Hassick and his wife Sandy, Billy and Debbie Oram, as they, I think they're preparing to try to go back to Haiti. Lee and Laura Sullins are in Kuala Lumpur. And the Greg Wilton family is serving in Clarkston, Georgia, for the North American Mission Board. Those are some that we are specifically tied to at our church, so let's remember them especially. Look in the hospital. We've got Larry Brinkley's in IMCU. He's expected to be transferred to Select Specialty Hospital in Tallahassee at some point. Pray for the Ukrainians. They got a mess going on over there. Pray for our world that we live in, for God to just bless his world. Reach down and knock some of these folks upside the head if that's what it takes. But anyway, that's what we need to do. And then tonight, just to tell you where we're headed, the deacons have invited Dr. Rich Kinsel and his wife Kay. We've invited Dr. Kinsel to come and consider serving as our interim pastor or transitional pastor, whichever way we want to look at it. And we kind of trying him out the next three services, and then a week from tonight, he will meet with the deacons after the service, and we'll kind of figure out if that's the direction we really want to go and make a decision at that point to see what we want to do and just make sure we're all on the same page. So pray for Brother Rich, Miss Kay, as this next week goes by, and pray for our church that we'll be open to what God wants us to do in this. We're still in a very important time in our life, in a transition from, we've been without a pastor for a year now. And I still know, be honest, shadow of a doubt, God has our pastor already selected. We just got to get our paths to cross. And we'll still need to pray that prayer, that God will lead the right man here to the right people so that our paths can cross and we can be about God's business. Brother Rich is going to come as soon as we have prayer, and he's going to share what's on his heart tonight. And there's no time limit. I don't have to get up before 10 to 5. So I will share something he shared with me. He says he has never been accused of being long-winded. So we'll leave it at that. We'll see about that. We'll make our own judgment. The pressure's on now. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll welcome Brother Kinsel. Our Father God, we just praise you, God, that you are God and we're not. Father, I praise you for the gift of your Son. We just celebrated his death and resurrection. We celebrate his resurrection, Father, because through his resurrection, you give us our salvation, and we just praise you for that, and we know where it comes from, Father. Father, right now in this time of our church, we just lift up our church body as we are continuing to try to carry on your work here at Cairo, at 5th Street and 5th Avenue. Father, we just we covet your guidance through your Holy Spirit for us to do the things that you would have us to do. Father, I lift up our Pastor Search Committee as they continue trying to figure out the direction we need to go as a church. God, I lift up the man you have already chosen. And Father, I just ask that you continue to bless him wherever he's at. And Father, in your miraculous way, lead him to us so that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is your chosen messenger for our church. Father, I lift up these names on our prayer list. God, you know the needs better than we do. And God, I just ask that you meet their needs where they're at. If your will in their life is to heal them, Father, we would ask for healing. Father, if it's not, we would ask that you'd give them a peace, that they know that you're still in control. Father, for our long-term list, just bless those folks. Father, I lift up especially Grace Stinson and her family as she is struggling near the end or near the beginning of eternity. God, just bless that family as they prepare for the imminent death. And God, just let them know that she is taken care of, that she is a Christian, and that you have a place prepared for her, Father. And we praise you for that. Father, I lift up the names on our short-term list. Brother David, as he has injured himself today, just blessing that, Father. And Father, all the other sick folks that are in our church and attached to us, meet their needs where they're at, bless them, keep them healthy, and Lord, let them know that there's a church here that loves them and prays for them every day. Father, as we go into this time of Bible study, I just pray that you anoint Brother Kinsel as he comes and shares with us his heart. God, let the words he gives us be exactly what we need to hear, and may we apply these words to our lives and our church. And everything that's accomplished in this place tonight, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Brother Kinsel, come on, share with us.
All right. Thank you so much. I've got a Bible here somewhere. I never want to disappoint anybody, so Brother Darrell asked me a little before the service if we were going to be using our Bible tonight. He is gets really kind of sarcastic, isn't he? But yes, we're going to use our Bible. If you'll take your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 1, about the middle of the New Testament, we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1. We're actually going to be looking at a couple other companion verses. I will do cross-referencing in my preaching regularly. Thank you, Brother Todd Gaines. I have a friend who's the pastor at the First Baptist Church of Cairo, Georgia, who was one of my former students when I was preaching for a preaching professor for New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. And he thinks Todd Gaines about hung the moon. Now, I told him, I said, Brother Chris, Todd did not hang the moon. I know hung the moon, and I've not met Todd Gaines yet. But he speaks very highly of Todd, and he speaks very highly of Eastside Baptist Church. We've been supply preaching in various churches, and you go over, First Baptist Cairo and Wigham Baptist and Pine Hill Baptist and where else. I'm getting to know Grady County. I like Grady County. My son's a deacon in his church. He said, Dad, it's like you're becoming a Georgia pastor. And he was just a little confused about that, I think. I'm not sure. But Todd and Donna have been very sweet and very gracious, and he's a marvelous leader, and I know you appreciate him. The Widners and I are friends from way back. No, actually, we just have common friends in Tallahassee, so it was good to kind of renew that and check up on all that, you know. And what my wife Kay is with me. We have been married. We married very, very, very young. We've been married 43 years. So you know that we married very young, and she's from East Texas, and I think Sunday morning I'm going to take just about 3 minutes at the beginning of the message and share my personal testimony. But we retired at Emmanuel Baptist. If you know anything about Tallahassee, it's right on Mahan, which is Tennessee Street from in front of the university. Go east, and before you get to the busiest intersection in the capital city, which is Mahan and Capital Circle Northeast, up on the hill. Tallahassee means the city of seven hills. On the top of one of the hills stands Emmanuel Baptist. And we were there 22 years. And then I was several years as on the faculty at the Baptist College of Florida in Graceville, Florida. And I don't know with that state line, is it like the Great Wall of China? Y'all get across the state line, don't you? You don't. I met Donna in Tallahassee, so you don't need a passport. We were at the Baptist College of Florida, and then we finished 15 months as transitional pastor at the First Baptist Church of Lynn Haven, which is kind of a suburb of Panama City. They just kind of run together. You just at 23rd Street, all of a sudden you're in Panama City, and I thought I was in Lynn Haven. But then we've been supply preaching. We're glad to be at Eastside Baptist Church tonight and see what God might have in store for us together. But I want to give you some good news tonight, some great news. I know we're going to get to look at one of the deepest and most significant theological truths in all of the Bible. You say, well, Brother Rich... Joy. Tell me Joy's last name. Joy Gaines, her brother's a preacher down in Florida, and he and I are friends. He's down in St. Augustine. What?
Alicia Harrison.
Your wife's brother, Harrison. That's not Joy. Alicia. I'm going to get these names down. I might need to hear them twice. But yeah, he's a great, great pastor and a great leader in the Florida Baptist State Convention. So let me read for you. Let me begin reading a passage of Scripture. You're going to think that I'm confused as the time of year. You're going to think that I think it's still Christmas. But I know it's not Christmas. But if you just listen for a moment as I read from Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. I'm reading from the New International Version. Usually use the King James or the NIV. So tonight I'm just reading from the NIV. Who prefers King James? Okay, you'll be honest with me. Who prefers NIV? Okay, so let me do this. Let me just skip right over to the King James and be a little more popular tonight. Is that all right? The three people that prefer the NIV are going to hate me forever, Brother Todd, but we're going to all work through that. Brother Walden is my friend, and he will help protect me. But while he thought on these things, behold, now we're in the King James, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus, Savior, the one who is called to save the world from their sins. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. All right, there's the nugget. There's the spiritual truth. There's the theological dynamic in this passage. And it runs throughout the Bible. And it runs from God throughout the Scripture to you. Pardon me for pointing. To you and to me in each of our lives. God with us. The truth that we're really considering tonight, and you'll probably prayerfully, after we have our closing prayer, you just float to your car as you drive home, because you have been reminded from the Bible how much God loves you, and it's all about relationship. And when God has established that relationship with you through his son Jesus, it is forever. Because once saved, always saved. Now, let's do this. Paul and Silas were on their missionary journey, and they received a call, the Macedonian call, from a man in Troas. And they said, come over and help us. Come over and help us. And they changed their route, and they went over to, really crossed over into Europe, if you will, and they came to a Roman colony, a Roman city that had changed hands through different battles, but had been given the name Philippi. And that's where we get the name Philippian, the Philippian church. So he goes to Philippi, and let's not get into this too deeply tonight, and you know it better and could tell it better than I can, okay? So I'm very careful. They came upon Philippi and they met Lydia, the seller of purple, and she was converted and some of her friends. And then you remember Paul and Silas were thrown into the prison. And what happened about midnight? They were praising God and singing. And you remember how the Philippian jailer was saved because the jail was thrown open and he was scared for his life. And he hollered out, "What must I do to be saved?" And he and all of his household were saved and baptized. And that began the church at Philippi, the church to which Paul writes one of his prison epistles, the last of his prison epistles, the last of the four, in about A.D. 62. Called to come over. He went on his second missionary journey and began the church there. And then the Bible tells us that he came back through to check on them during his third missionary journey. Now, the church at Philippi was interesting. It didn't have a lot of, y'all help me, didn't have a lot of conflict or controversy or whatever. It was a church that to which Paul wrote this letter, and he didn't correct them. He didn't criticize them. He didn't have an issue with them. It's really a letter or a book of great joy because of Paul's relationship with them. Well, tonight we're going to look at a snippet. Do y'all know in Georgia what a snippet is? We're looking at a snippet, and it's one verse. Now, we're going to look at some companion verses. We're going to cross-reference because Scripture interprets Scripture. So if you're looking and reading in one Scripture, if you'll cross-reference, you'll go to another one elsewhere in the Bible, and it will make the first one more clear. I love that. That's what God does. So, look with me in Philippians chapter 1. I want you to see this. Ready? You're going to float home tonight. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 6. I'm reading from the King James Version. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's the theological truth. You remember they said, call him Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. And so once God is with you, he's always with you. Just like you make a commitment when you repent or turn from your sin and give your life to Jesus. So God makes a like commitment to you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I think that's why 365 times in the Bible, the Scripture says, fear not, do not be anxious, do not worry. Now, tonight isn't a message to a worry wart, but that's just a little nugget to take with you, that once Jesus is our Lord, he's going to take with us, stick with us in the slang. Isn't that what Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 tells us? It tells us today at Eastside Baptist Church in Cairo, Georgia, of our sanctification, you see. Because our salvation, if you will, is built upon three different... What's the word we would say? And you can always tell me later, Pastor, a better word for that would have been, and I'll receive that, aspects to our salvation. There is our justification. Now, I'd go back to my freshman year at the University of Arkansas when I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ, and I became justified, made right with God because of what Jesus did on the cross for me and me appropriating that or applying that in my life. And that's the long biblical theological term, being justified by faith. Justification means being made right. You're made right with God. That's when you are saved. That's when you are saved. You are justified. Okay, stick with me. Now, from that point, Your justification, wherever it was, whenever it was. Mine was November 5th of my freshman year in college. From that day, the rest of my earthly life, I'm in, what are we going to call this, Brother Todd? I'm in step two, section two. It's called our sanctification. Sanctification means to be made holy. And there are some days you may not feel real holy, but you are being sanctified. Follow this. You were saved on such and such a date. You know, some people say, well, I can't remember when I was saved. Guess what? You don't have to. You don't have to know. I happen to know the day and the year. And we found a little Bible, one of these little Bibles. It might have been a Gideon Bible. Was it a Gideon Bible?
No, it was
her pastor's New Testament. Well, you blew my illustration, especially with a Chief Gideon right here. But we found that in some boxes. We have stuff at our house, way too much stuff. But we found that she was saved as a six-year-old on August 6th. Mine was November 5. So we happen to know our dates. But you know, this is an aside, and it's free tonight, that some people feel badly or have a question because a lady will come and she'll say, well, Brother Rich, all my girlfriends know exactly when they were saved, and I don't. I know I was probably about fourth grade, and I know where she's going. So I say, my dear sister, that's good enough. You just need to know that you are saved and that one time in your past, you turned away from your sin, you repented, and you turned to Christ in God. Repentance and faith. That's all it takes. So, sanctification is from the moment you're saved until you die an earthly death. Your entire life, you're being sanctified. You all look very holy to me tonight because you're being sanctified. You're in the process of sanctification. Follow this. I was saved. Ready? I was saved. I am being saved. And one day I'll reach that third step or section, or you're the educator, you'd have to help me, which is glorification. And one day I will be saved. I hope that's not confusing. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But theologically, you go through these various steps. So Paul is dealing with them at their point of need, the church at Philippi, when he tells them, I want to deal with your sanctification and you being more holy. But he says all these neat things in the letter to the church at Philippi. I mean, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all. He must have been a Georgian. For you all making, that was a joke, folks. You can kind of relax and enjoy church. I like to enjoy church. I like to enjoy church. I think going to church ought to be fun. Now, the Holy Spirit provides conviction, and we draw closer to God, but we ought to enjoy church. We ought to enjoy church. Okay, so let's look at this a little more carefully. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. God really shows us his determination in his relationship with us. So God's determined to finish his work in you. That's why he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never let you go. You're in the palm of my hand. You belong to me. You are one of my children. How great is that? Well, I have two marvelous children. They're not perfect, but they're pretty special. They take after their mother. And but let's pretend my son, who is a deacon, decided that he didn't like his dad. He does like his dad, doesn't he? Oh, look at her. She did like this. Okay. You need to, if we have an invitation time. So anyway, but let's say he says, I don't care for you. You're not my dad, and I'm not your son. And he moves to Nome, Alaska. Is that far enough away? Timbuktu, Africa. I don't even know what country Timbuktu is in. Somewhere in the Sahara Desert. And he says, I am no longer Rich Kinsel's son. I'm going to become Fred Fardknuckle. I'm going to change my name, and I'm going to have nothing to do with you. But you know what, Donna, you know the answer. You're sharp as a tack. Is he still my son? How long will he be my son?
Forever.
He's my son forever. Forever. Well, there's a whole other message there. It's powerful. Don't ever give up on those who are backslidden. Who are backslidden. Who have fallen away from God. But they can't lose their salvation. They're just away from God. They can come back. You pray for those people. You encourage those people. You talk to those people. You visit those people. And we could go on and on about that. But we know that he's determined to finish his work in you. He starts the work in us. God takes the initiative. God takes the initiative. You know, some people think they chose God. Well, theologically, God chose them. I read a story about a man who was going to be ordained as a preacher. And they asked him to, the deacons, he met with the deacons and some other local preachers. I'm not sure how you do it in Grady County, but they had an ordaining council. So they asked him. They asked him to share with them how he became a Christian. Here's what he said. I did my part and God did his. That's waving a red flag. I did my part and God did his. So they immediately, what do you think they asked him? Could you tell us a little more about your part in the salvation? Because we as Baptists, you know, it's all about God, and it is. But here's what he said. Pardon me for reading this. He said, my part was to run from God as fast as I could. God's part was to run after me and catch me and bring him into his family. You know, that's what happened to every one of us. Every one of us. We're all running from God. We're distant from God. We're away from God, and God calls us. You come to a worship service at the Eastside Baptist Church in Cairo, and you sit way back there. And I'm not begrudging anybody who sits back there. But God, through his Holy Spirit, speaks to your heart, and he touches your heart. And you respond. It might be in Vacation Bible School. I love to take this survey. How many of you were saved in Vacation Bible School? Okay, you just absolutely destroyed my survey. You took my data, you threw it out the window, and you stomped on it. Usually it's about, to be honest, it's usually about 50 to 65%. Of the people, because Vacation Bible School, I'm big on Vacation Bible School, because it's the strongest and most powerful evangelistic outreach of the church. Did you realize that? Vacation Bible School. It's marvelous. So God takes the initiative. He takes personal responsibility for completing his work in you. Now I have to read this because I'll get it wrong. Have you ever seen the little buttons? They were popular back in the past. I don't, you know, but I found this and it says PBPGIFWMY. Well, those cryptic letters stand for the truth that says, please be patient. God isn't finished with me yet. God's still working on me. And aren't you glad? You've already determined that you're glad about that. And God's still working on you. We're not perfect. We're in the process of, it's not a test, sanctification. We're becoming more holy. And God guarantees the outcome. He starts, he continues, he guarantees the ultimate outcome. The unfinished work, finished. That which is lacking will be made full. The partial will be whole. The broken will be fixed. All right, stick with me. I've just got a couple of these. He starts the work in us. And then he keeps us from falling. Now, this is interesting. I like this. Jude. You know Jude. We just say the number. We're going to look at Jude 24 and 25. Why do we just say that? That could be confusing. There's only, that. Donna's right, that's the only chapter in Jude. It's a short book, right before Revelation. Listen to this. To him who is able to keep you from falling. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. So he starts his work in you. Stick with me. He starts his work in you and you're being sanctified. And as he's working in your heart and your life, he's keeping you from falling, coming up short. What a marvelous thing, the power of God. He's able, his purpose, to present you before his glorious presence and his promise without fault and with great joy. All right, thirdly, I'm sorry, I've only got four of these tonight. The third one, he equips us to do his will. Now, every church member needs to hear this. What we need is this place packed out with every member of the Eastside Baptist Church of Cairo here to hear this point. He equips us to do his will. Now, we find that any number of places, but in Hebrews chapter 13, listen to this. This is verse 20. And 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. God working in you, equipping you. Another translation uses the word equip. The word equip means to restore to proper working condition. It's used in the Bible and extra biblical in the Greek language of that day, literature, to speak of getting an army ready for battle. We're praying for the Ukrainians. No politics from the pulpit, you know. Because if you mix politics and religion, what do you get? Politics. Did you hear that? You mix politics and religion. But you know, one of my undergraduate degrees is political science. So, yes, at the end of our driveway, we have a Ukrainian flag hanging. I'm grateful none of my neighbors have torn it down. We have a very eclectic neighborhood in Tallahassee. Getting an army ready. It also means, it's used for sewing up a hole in a fishing net. Equipping, repairing the fishing net. Getting the army ready, repairing the fishing net. Well, I'll tell you, I had a problem. My baptismal waders sprung a leak. Okay? And you know, you baptize, I don't know when you how you do it. It doesn't matter. It's no legalistic right way. But I always baptize at the beginning of the service, to begin the service. And where this was leaking, you don't want to leak. Is that enough? We're all family tonight, okay? You just don't want to leak there. What do I do, honey? What do I do? The deacons bought me these waders several years back, and what do I do? Well, there was this little thing. Do you have those commercials on television of the guy who rides the glass boat across the water that he's sprayed or glued together with Flex Seal? So I thought, all right, I'm going to try this out. So I went to my local Walmart. I'm not promoting Walmart, but I went to Walmart and I bought me some Flex Seal. You better save your money. It's high as a cat's back. So I bought the Flex Seal and I sprayed and repaired the waders. What do y'all think? They did not leak. Everybody's going to run to Walmart and get Flex Seal tonight. They did not leak. And I was equipped to baptize. I was ready to baptize. Now, the deep spiritual truth is this. Members of Eastside Cairo, if God calls you to do something, with the calling comes the equipping. The equipping. Oh, I've never done that before. Quit sweating it. Trust God's Holy Spirit. God will equip you to do what He's called you to do. I told you we were going to dig deeply tonight. This is as deep as it goes. At least for me, theologically. So God does the equipping. Lastly, He promises to complete the work. And we realize that. When Jesus returns, the Bible says two things are going to happen for the believer. Our character is going to be revealed and our perfection will be complete. Well, looking around, I don't know you folks exactly. I've even miscalled some names already. But I don't see, let me know, I don't see a lot of perfection here tonight. I don't see anyone who's perfect. Well, join the club. We're all being sanctified. We're being made more holy. We're in a process. You remember justification? I was what? Saved. Sanctification, I am being saved. And one day, glorification, when I die a physical death, my eternal soul and spirit, the real me, is going to go to heaven to be forever with Jesus. God isn't finished yet. So rejoice in that. Trust in the Lord. And when you get in your car, just float on home. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word. It always teaches us. It always encourages us. It convicts us. It motivates us. It helps us. We are in desperate need to understand the perfect will of God. Thank you that you have a plan for each one of us. And you're working on us, working out that plan in our lives as we're being sanctified and becoming more like Jesus. This is our heart's desire. This is what we really want. So meet us at our point of need. I pray for these dear people here tonight, for every member of Eastside Baptist Church in Cairo, that every home that's represented in the membership of this church will be one where Jesus is honored and glorified, that you draw all of us closer to your will through your Spirit. Help us to be willing hearers and ready to be obedient to your call and your directive. We pray for this coming Lord's Day. And we're excited about worship. Gathering together to worship the Lord Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Have a great rest of the week. It's great to be in church. Always great to be in church.